Greetings in the name of the Lord. Over a period of time, we're studying together in two books of the New Testament known as 1 and 2 Thessalonians. I have pointed out before that these two books are part of a section of the New Testament known as the travel epistles. The New Testament we often divide into parts. We have the prison epistles where Paul was in prison. We have the pastoral epistles. We have the general epistles. Of course, going clear back, we have the Gospels and the book of Acts as the historical books. So we often divide. And I want to emphasize again, the entire Bible is the Word of God. We only do this for our convenience in teaching. We tend to divide into parts of the Bible, but the Bible is actually one. And it is a Word of God. Every part of it is a Word of God. There is no part of the Bible that we could put aside or we could take away. It has the answer to every need in our lives as we study God's Word. We don't need the books of men. Sometimes people knock on your doors and they're trying to sell you the books of men. You know, that so-and-so had this vision from God, and now here are these three books one cult tells you, and here are these three books that you could buy from these visions that our leaders had. And, of course, this is entirely false. God's Word is the only source of our knowledge. And so it's not through my church that we get some new revelations from God. When you come to my church, you come to other churches, you're going to hear only the preaching from the Word of God itself. And if it's not from the Word of God, it's not of God. It's not of tradition. It's not of anything else. It's from the Word of God. So we're studying the book of 1 Thessalonians now, one of these travel epistles while Paul was on his journeys. And I want to begin reading in chapter 1, and I want to read down through a number of different verses. Chapter 1 now. Paul and Silvanus and Timotheus unto the church of the Thessalonians, which is in God the Father and in the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. We give thanks to God always for you all, making mention of you in our prayers, remembering without ceasing your work of faith and labor of love and patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ in the sight of God and our Father, knowing, brethren, beloved, your election of God. For our gospel came not unto you in word only, but also in power and in the Holy Ghost and in much assurance, as ye know what manner of men we were among you for your sake. And you became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction with joy of the Holy Ghost, so that you were examples to all that believe in Macedonia and in Achaia. For from you sounded out the word of the Lord, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but also in every place your faith to Godward is spread abroad, so that we need not to speak anything. I want to stop our reading right here. We could have read the last two verses, but I think we'll not be covering those in this lesson. I want to study now in this first chapter, beginning with verse 2. And I want to study the testimony of these Thessalonians. It's very interesting to me. There is one verse there where Paul speaks of his own manner of life among them. But the rest of the chapter, beginning with verse 2 down to the very end, is commending the Thessalonians themselves for their faith. I think there's no other book, even Philippians, would not have this long a passage of commendation. I think in chapter 4 of Philippians, you're going to find commendation, much commendation of the Philippians. But this is a long section commending these Thessalonians. They were exceptional Christians. They were Christians who were truly spiritual. And this should be the desire of every one of us who know the Lord Jesus, that we would not only know him as our Savior, but we would be following him completely and fully, loving him with all our hearts, devoted to him, dedicated to him. And I want to apply this to young people as well, and even to children who know the Lord Jesus Christ. Once you have come to know the Lord Jesus Christ, there should be no waiting in your life until you're willing to follow him with all your hearts. And so these Thessalonians, even though Paul had spent such little time with them, of course, he did leave his co-workers behind, but the Apostle Paul had to flee from that city of Thessalonica. And even though he'd spent so little time with them, from the very beginning, they follow the Lord with all their hearts. And so in verses 2 to 10, we're going to find the known spiritual testimony of the worthy walk of the Thessalonians. We're going to see this. Now, you notice he opens this passage with a prayer of rejoicing for all that they have shown in their walk in the Lord. He says in verse 2, "We give thanks always for you all, making mention of you in our prayers, remembering without ceasing your work of faith and labor of love and patience of hope in the Lord Jesus Christ, in the sight of God and our Father." So this is like a little prayer, he says, that he prays continually for them. And as a prayer of thanksgiving, I'm sure that when Paul would pray for them, he was praying for spiritual needs among them. And we would do this ourselves. But how wonderful it is to be able to rejoice and to give a prayer of just thanks for people, what they meant to us, how they followed the Lord, how spiritual they are in everything. And so he mentions here three characteristics of these people. First of all, he talks about your work of faith. This is one of the things he rejoices in, your work of faith. This would not just refer to the faith they had to be saved. Of course, he's praising God for that. He's praising God for their salvation itself and for what this salvation meant in their lives and how it had affected them. So this is also very, very important as Paul prays for them. But he's also dealing with the fact that the work they did for God had evidence of strong faith in going on in the Lord Jesus Christ. In other words, we not only have saving faith, but we have faith to go on in Him, trusting Him completely for every need in our lives, trusting Him completely for His leading and direction in our lives, whether it's in the choice of a life partner, whether it's in choice of work that we do, whether it's in the decisions we make in other areas of our lives, the fact that we can trust Him completely, and we do this by faith. We walk by faith, in other words. We don't simply receive our salvation by faith, but we walk by faith, and God helps us with His faith. So they had strong evidence of faith and trust in the Lord, and the Lord rewarded that faith. And then the second thing he talks about is your labor of love. This could refer either to the approach and attitude of their labor for the Lord, the fact that they loved Him very deeply and they loved other people very deeply, that it was done in deep love for Him. We see this in 2 Corinthians 5:14, where the Apostle Paul says, "The love of Christ drives me on or compels me or constrains me." And there's the love of Christ fills his heart, and he walks on in the love of the Lord. So this could be true, that it was done because of their deep love for Him. Or it could refer to their committal and devotion to the task that the Lord had given them to do. In other words, we walk on in love, and we share the gospel with other people in love. And it's a change. How can I say this? It's a change the Lord makes in our hearts. In ourselves, we would have no such incentive to serve the Lord. In ourselves, we would have no such concern for the lost condition of other people if it were by ourselves. But when the love of Christ fills our hearts, then we have a burden for the task that God has laid among us. Laid upon us, and we have a very important task that we are, we're completing for the Lord. We're not doing everything for the Lord. Sometimes we feel like we're reaching everyone. We're not reaching everyone, but we're doing the thing that God wants us to do, whether it's in a school reaching classmates, whether it's in a workplace reaching workmates, whether it's with neighbors and friends and family, whoever it might be. We're completing the task that God has for us. And so, this is one possibility. Or it could refer to the love that they have for people themselves, the love they have for each other. If you were to study the book of 1 John, and some of you have studied this with me in previous studies, but if you have studied the book of 1 John again and again and again, it speaks of the necessity of our love for other people. In 1 John 2, he points out that if you don't love other people, then how can the love of God be in you? So when I come to the Lord Jesus Christ, He puts a love in my heart, not only for the Lord himself, and for the task he's given me to do, and for the need for me to commit my life for him. He gives me the love in order for the task. But he also gives me a love for the people I'm going to reach, people of every shape and description. I love them all. I love my fellow believers, of course, but I also love the unsaved people, and I want to see them come to the saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. This is a spiritual love. So this could be a manifestation of love for the people they were trying to reach, or it could be simply the brethren with whom they serve God, the brethren in the church itself. And this is one of the characteristics of a very spiritual church. Let me come back to this again and again. One of the main characteristics of a very spiritual church is the love of brethren for each other, where no one in the body of believers is excluded from the love that we show to other people. Everyone is included in our love. We love everyone in the church, the least of the members, the pastor and the deacons and the members of the church, down to the very least of the members. Sometimes people feel very lonely in a church. They come to church, they belong to the church, but they don't feel really loved by the people. How shameful this is. Christians ought to be reaching out to everyone in the body of believers. No one is excluded. The one who may be very gifted, the one who is not very gifted, and so forth. And then he also talks about your patience and your steadfastness of hope in the Lord Jesus Christ. So this hope is also very important, where we have faith, love, and hope. Now, first of all, it refers to the hope of eternal life itself. We continually keep this before us. We never need to be afraid after we have truly trusted the Lord Jesus as our Savior. Even in a moment of final illness before death, we need not be afraid because we have hope in the Lord Jesus Christ. Over in the book of 1 Corinthians, chapter 15, if you study this chapter very carefully, I won't go into this deeply with you, but if you study this chapter very, very deeply, it points out that because Jesus has been resurrected from the dead, because Jesus has ascended back into heaven, because Jesus is now sitting at the right hand of the Father, we Christians never should doubt. We should never doubt our future hope. Our future hope is that we ourselves, when we're absent from the body, will be present with the Lord. We don't need to doubt this. We don't need to pray about this for other people after they have died. Either they are with the Lord or they're not with the Lord. Either they belong to the Lord or they didn't belong to the Lord. And if they belong to the Lord, you don't need to pray for them because they're already with the Lord in heaven. And this is our future hope because of that. And we also have the future hope. We're going to see this in chapter 4 of 1 Thessalonians, the future hope of the resurrection of the bodies themselves, a glorified body. 1 Corinthians 15 also speaks of this. The glorified body, they'll be resurrected and will be caught up together to meet Christ in the air when he comes. And we have what we call the rapture. We're caught up. The dead in Christ shall rise first, then we who are alive and remain in glorified bodies. Now, this is hope. But we also have hope in other ways. We also think about the hope that we have in serving him here. We have hope, in other words, that God is watching us. God cares for us. God is going to help us when we serve him here. So there are many ways that this word hope can be applied. And it's very important that we have also this hope, the hope of the future, also the hope in serving him here, the hope that we have that God will meet every need. He will lead us according to his will. He will accomplish his purposes. He will bring to pass, in other words, what he promises. So we notice that this combination of faith, hope, and love is essential during the church age. It's essential that it go on, and that individual Christians have this faith, this hope, and this love. Faith, love, and hope, as it's given here in 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 2. Faith, love, and hope. And it's very important that we that we have this in our age. Now, I just want to mention something very briefly. Perhaps I brought this out already in our study of 1 Corinthians, but I want to mention this very, very briefly. There are certain things that have passed away, but faith, hope, and love are present throughout the church age. Now, we, of course, don't need faith and hope in heaven. So this is not referring to heaven. 1 Corinthians 13, verses 8 to 13, where it speaks of the fact that tongues and prophecy and other things have passed away. We believe these things are not for this age. According to 1 Corinthians 13, verses 8 to 13, they have passed away. But faith, hope, and love go on throughout, until the Lord Himself comes, and we no longer need faith and hope. We still have these virtues. We still have these things from God, these gifts from God that He has given us, this faith and hope. But other things have passed away. Now, I know that some people are following other things, but these things have passed away according to this passage. But we still have faith and hope, and of course we still have love. And so we need to go on in these things. Now I want to bring this lesson to a close. We are thankful to God for this introduction to the book, and we're thankful to God for this little bit of prayer of benediction. And we're very thankful to God for these things. We'll be getting further into the study in our next lesson. May the Lord bless and keep you, each one. And may He help you to have, first of all, saving faith, true saving faith in the Lord, and then to go on in Him with faith, hope, and love. And may this be true in each of your lives, and may the Lord bless you, each one.